Yes. So, Hare Krishna. I want to greet all of you affectionately from Gaura Bhavan here in Potsdam. We are very enthusiastic to serve you as much as possible on Ekadasis. We have made a great, almost like a vow, that whenever we are here on Ekadasi, we would like to make an emission to reach all of you all over the world who are interested to hear about Krishna consciousness. We will open the light now, our little studio. The way we conduct these programs is like this. I would just like to maybe ask Gaurahari to just show for a moment how it looks outside, so that you have a little idea of our place and how we are situated just next to the lake. There's Tulsi, and you can see maybe a big lake. We call that Radhakund since the time we moved here, because at the time of our coming here, we poured Radhakund and Syamakund water into the lake, and we hope that by means of association, the lake has also become a little sacred. So good, we will chant a little together. I request you to sing with us, and then as the program continues, I want to talk about a very important feature in Krishna consciousness, that is full absorption. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha, Kanaya Lala Radhe, Radha Kanaya Lala, Radha Kanaya Lala Radhe. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paravara Chakacharya Astato Satasi Simajesti Vain Grace Sila Avet Sananaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedant Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Come on, Vishnu, Dai, Krishna, Dai, Patrai, Smriti, Anta, Santi, Ami, Namati, Sari, Devi, Govani, Jani, Vaseva, Sanyati, Skatati, Vatani. Hare Krishna. Yesterday we went to the to obtain a visa in town. As we were going through the official procedures, I asked one devotee who was with me to answer a question to me. This devotee felt very joyful. He had prepared for a very important lecture on habits and giving up old habits. And I asked him, tell me, what of all the habits which we have in this material world is the root of all other habits? Tell me, if you speak about giving up habits, which one you should work on? The devotee was well prepared glowing with the effulgence of a lecturer who would take his audience by storm any moment, was silent and then answered, "I think false ego is the habit." But I answered, "No, false ego is not a habit, it's a material element which covers the soul. What is the habit which comes out of this covering, which totally takes us away from Krishna consciousness?" And of course I had thought about this for an hour, and I could not expect the devotee to immediately produce an answer which was as thought out. Then he said, "You answer your question." And I said to him, while we were walking through this huge building, separate interest. In Sanskrit it's called binadrik. You have a perspective and a desire which is separated from that of the Lord. And it is this habit to see and take care of our separate interests which will keep us in the material world if we don't change that into another perspective, the perspective of that we want to take care of Krishna's interest and Krishna's devotees. We may do many things to do our to take care of our false ego. We may sleep on the barren floor. We may shave our heads. We may do work steadily on building up a reputation for ourselves. We may do tapasya. As long as we do not change this habit of seeing what is the interest of Krishna, what is for his pleasure, we will be bound in material life. So this is not so easy. To think of Krishna's interest is something which requires surrender. A surrendered soul will ask, before he does something, is this in the interest of Krishna? Or positively, he will ask, I will do something which serves Krishna. This is a meditation which Jiva Goswami gives, that before you do something, you should think really that you want to do this for Krishna. Say you give a lecture, you should fix in your mind, I'm going to do this to praise Krishna. I'm going to do this to help other people to become more Krishna conscious. Say you cook, you should see, I'm trying now to use my cooking skills in the service of the deities whom I will offer this meal. Say you are going to do any type of service, before you set about doing it, you should bring Krishna into the room, into your life, and then say, I'm going to do this for Krishna. This meditation, I would say the meditation of the third person, bringing the third person, that will bring you more Krishna, more into Krishna consciousness. And see, Krishna is in the center, and around Krishna you could say there are many servants. There are the beginning servants like us, who are still a little bit far away. Then there are servants who are closer. Then there's our spiritual guide, our spiritual master. And as we come closer into this hierarchy, we will find the great devotees like Prabhupada, the great associates like Haridas Thakur, And we will come closer and closer and closer. And as we come closest to the center, we will find Srimati Radharani, who doesn't, and her gopi assistants, who don't have any idea of being having a separate interest for Krishna. We hear, for instance, that their only meditation is, how will Krishna be happy? When Srimati Radharani is dressed, which is something which all women look forward to, when they have nice new cloth with silk and golden ornaments. But Srimati Radharani gets restless to, as she gets dressed, and thinks, when will Krishna see me and see all this beauty and all this nice cloth? It's only for Krishna. We hear that other servants of Krishna, like in the spiritual world, like Yashoda, they would give a thousand times they would be prepared to give up their lives thousand times to just wipe away one little drop of perspiration which is there because Krishna is maybe doing too many efforts or runs too much, and they want to take this away from him, the effort. So my point here is, Krishna is in the center, and just like rings in a tree, we call them in German language Baumringe, are forming concentric circles around the center. There are many there are devotees who are closer to the center, closer to the heat of Krishna consciousness, and further away from the heat. Some are in the coldness, standing in the shadows of material life and feeling the freezing coldness which affects their life and their hearts. So if you wish to get a warm heart, come closer to the center. Don't avoid the fire. And you can do this by associating with the different devotees, on either by associating when you can meet them in the world, the more exalted devotees, or you can meditate about them and their example when they are devotees in the spiritual world, and how they serve Krishna. In this way, you will also feel in your life that the problem of separate interest goes more and more out of your life, and you more and more feel like these devotees to give actual pleasure to Sri Radha Krishna, Sri Radha Krishna. This is a great science. Move up in the concentric circles. Don't stay far away. Where the closer you come to the center, the safer you are. But the further away you are from the center of service of Sri Radha Krishna, the more it is cold in your life, and the less you are ecstatic. See, as we have talked in Leipzig, there are two types of darknesses around us. One darkness is the darkness surrounding the night. We can't see anything in the darkness unless there is the moon, and later in the morning unless the sun rises. We can maybe put on a fire to dispel this external darkness, because we feel very much threatened when we are in the darkness and we don't know our way. However, there is a darkness which is an internal darkness, which is much more threatening. This internal darkness is a darkness which covers the soul. And this darkness cannot be dispelled by the moon, it cannot be dispelled by the fire, not dispelled by the time factor, it cannot even be dispelled by the sun. This internal darkness requires a spiritual light to be cured. This internal darkness which covers the heart will go if you move further to the center, and as you move, the heat of the fire will increase. Only Krishna can take away this andhadhamishra and moha of covering the soul. And for that, we try to move closer to Krishna and give up the separate interest which keeps us far, 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 far away from Krishna. We may do so many things, and we may think in our mind, I am a great devotee, look at me, I have a brilliant dhoti and a brilliant sari, and I do everything right. But if we do all this with separate interest in mind, and not we are not coming closer through the rings of service to the center, our heart will remain dark and darkened with this separate interest. Another very important point, and this will be the last big point in this little Ekadasi lecture, is how do we actually understand that Krishna is real? I said, come close to the center, go through the rings of service to the center and give up your separate interest, which is the cause of this darkness in the heart. But see, in order to go close to Krishna, we must be able to think a little bit of Krishna. We must, in our lives, in other words, think a little bit on the important mystery of Krishna consciousness. Jiva Goswami wrote a mighty work, the Sandavas, and in that Sandavas he wrote a treatise about Bhakti, which is called the Bhakti Sandava. And he ends his work by describing the one essential element of bhakti. Let us pause for a while. Imagine you would meet someone on the street and he would, let us say, a reporter, and he would say, oh, I have heard you are a devotee, can I speak to you? You would be quite surprised. How did he recognize me? I'm not I'm dressed in civil cloth. But the journalist says, we have our ways. I have a question. What is the essential element of bhakti? Pause for a moment and think what would be your answer. Jiva Goswami's point in the Bhakti Sandarbha is absorption of the consciousness in Krishna. See, if in our lives ever the feeling of love for Krishna should arise, it will only be possible if we bring Krishna into our heart, if we absorb our mind in Krishna. Only then we will have a personal relationship to Krishna. Only then we will be actually able to practice Krishna consciousness, which is something which is done with the consciousness, not just only with the senses. You can move your senses in the activities of sadhana bhakti, but ultimately the result you should aim for, the goal you should aim for, is that the mind always remembers Krishna, never forgets him. And that is only possible if you become absorbed in Krishna. Only then you will never forget Krishna. You will always remember Krishna, never forget him. Look at this cloth. It was once a white silken cloth until my assistant took it and put it into a saffron pot, or a pot filled with saffron colored water, and then it's called in English dyed it. Sounds like dye, huh? But it's like to dye means to put color in it. And now this cloth, for all practical purposes, is identified as a saffron cloth, not a white cloth any longer. So with the mind, or with our heart, we have to do something like that. We have to dye it, we have to color it. And for that, really, there are two ways. One is let the darkness go away, and that we do by letting the sun of the holy name rise in on the horizon of our heart. By that influence of Krishna's most merciful form, the darkness will go away, and Krishna will come into our heart. But the other is absorption in Krishna. And I would, in thinking of Krishna, because it's a Kadasi, and I would like to read a little bit from this work of Srila Rupa Goswami. It's called Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Bhagavatam, we all know, is the scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Amrita means the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lagu means a small, a light version. It's not, in other words, 12 cantos, but it is one volume only. Now in this work, we find that Rupa Goswami says that Krishna has four types of sweetnesses. These sweetnesses are a little bit different than the one which he lists in Nectar of Devotion. He says, there are four types of sweetness present in Krishna in Braj. Sweetness of his powers. This is called Aishvarya Madhuri. Sweetness of his pastimes. This is called Lila Madhurya. Madhurya. Sweetness of his flute. This is called Venu Madhurya. And sweetness of his form, or Rupa Madhurya. Let's start with Krishna's extraordinary powers, through which he has even defeated the mighty creator of the universe, Lord Brahma. You know, when Brahma came to test Krishna in Vrindavan by stealing Krishna's cowherd voice, he displayed an extraordinary power which bewildered and defeated Brahma. His power of yoga maya produced as many cowherd boys as he had stolen. But there are other shaktis, and I have this morning just thought about a few. There is Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti. This is a power which works to fulfill every desire of the Lord. Krishna desires that the forest of Vrindavan blooms to receive Radharani, and the whole forest explodes in flowers. His Satya Sankalpa Shakti makes everything possible. For instance, Krishna desires not to be bound by Mother Yashoda, no matter how many ropes Mother Yashoda brings and ties together. And this Satya Sankalpa, which fulfills and makes true every single intention of Krishna, somehow works in such a way that Mother Yashoda brings as many ropes as are available in all of Braj, and these are many ropes, and cannot bind Lord Krishna. Krishna has another Shakti called the Vibhuti Shakti. This is a Shakti through which he displays tremendous opulence. For instance, he wanted to show Mother Yashoda that he is quite extraordinary, and opened his mouth and showed all the universes in his mouth. This is the Vibhuti Shakti of Krishna. Krishna has the Leela Shakti, that is his pastime energy, which makes so many arrangements in his pastimes. And he has also a Shakti which is called Agatana Gatana Shakti. It's the Shakti which makes the most impossible thing totally possible. It allows the Lord to turn all laws into what he wants. This Shakti, by the way, also works outside of Braj. It is there in the spiritual world. In the material world, Prabhupada sometimes said that Krishna has invested parts of this Shakti in living entities in the world, who then can display impossible things, like the little mosquitoes can easily fly much better than the Boeing 700 and I don't know what the Boeings are called. But my dear devotees, and this will now give pleasure to your heart, there are two Shaktis which are just very, very special. These Shaktis are Aishwarya Madhurya, but they are opulent, and anything becomes possible through them. But there are two Shaktis which are extremely dear to the devotees. One is his Svayam Prakash Shakti. That's a Shakti by which Krishna can reveal himself as he is to his devotees. And this Shakti also works sometimes in great sadhakas, when all of a sudden, for instance, Dhruva Maharaj sees with these eyes Krishna's form. It was possible because Krishna revealed himself and showed himself and somehow made it possible that he could be seen with the eyes of Dhruva. But even dearer than this Shakti is the king of all of Krishna's Shaktis, which rules like a king over all the other Shaktis. It is said that it is this Shakti which illuminates and empowers all the other Shaktis. And if you hear it, you will shudder with pleasure. It's called the Kripa Shakti. It's the mercy energy of the Lord, which melts Krishna's heart with a feeling of affection for his devotees, and then turns Krishna's heart into soft butter. This Kripa Shakti is extraordinary and is so powerful that Krishna, even demons, Krishna feels mercifully inclined to them as he deals with them in Braj and gives them a high destination. what to speak of his devotees. So because of these Shakti, these sweet Shaktis, see, these Shakti, they are all sweet. Why? Because they are illumined by mercy. Whatever God does with all his powers and energies is illumined and empowered by only one Shakti, the king of all the other Shakti, the Kripa Shakti. Rupa Goswami, he says, the Lord performs pastimes in Braj, and he is served by a multitude of sweet powers, not heavy powers. Sweet because his mercy is moving everything. These are unheard of anywhere else. There is a verse from Brahmanda Purana where Narada speaks to Krishna about Krishna's Shaktis. He says, O Krishna, the demons which were difficult to kill by your chakra when you showed your form in Dwaraka were easily killed by you during your childhood pastimes. O Krishna, if you just move your eyebrow while playing with your friends in Braj, Brahma, Rudra, and others situated in the sky shake with fear. See, though the devatas have a lot of respect for the Lord of Dwaraka, who rides on a chariot and who uses his chakra, when they look at this powerful little child who deals with the most unheard of and powerful demons while he plays with his friends, they think Krishna is, they shake in fear. You know, when Brahma had been defeated by Krishna's potencies, he came to Krishna to pay his obeisances. But then he said, Krishna, I feel now highly uncomfortable to be here. I'm not qualified to be even next to your cowherd boyfriends. I think I don't want to disturb any longer. Allow me to leave Braj. Because he knows Krishna is the most superior personality, and when you stand before such a Lord, you are thinking what to do. But this Rupa Goswami says to instill faith in the beginning devotees who deal with Krishna. Now he goes to the Lila Madhurya. The sweetness of his pastimes are mentioned in Padma Purana. All the activities of Krishna are astonishing, says Padma Purana. But his pastimes with the cowherd boys and the gopis are more attractive than the royal pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka. See, Krishna's kingly pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka, where he acted as a prince, you know, Rajkumar, they are certainly special. But what Krishna did in Braj is most special. Yes, he expanded himself in 16,000 forms in Dwaraka. But my dear devotees, he expanded himself into unlimited forms when he played with the gopis at the bank of the Yamuna after he had reappeared and was with each single gopi alone. These were millions of gopis. Krishna once wanted to show the devatas a lesson how he is most private and he has most sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. And this happened at a place where I was fortunate to be last Kartik in Govindakund. You know, Krishna had lifted a huge Govardhan mountain and he held it for 1 week without shifting one time his leg. He was not inconvenienced. He was so strong. And then he placed the mountain down. So the devatas, except for Indra, were very, very, very affectionate to Krishna. Indra was afraid of Krishna because he had made the offense of sending the rain clouds. But Brahma, who is a good pujari, came and arranged for a huge arati to Krishna at Govindakund. It was a huge arati where all the devatas celebrated Krishna's achievement of protecting the Brijbasis. So he was all the devatas, Shiva, Varuna, Yamaraj, were there and gave Krishna different presents afterwards. And Indra was there in hiding and felt so bad, that he had challenged Krishna. But then the arati came to an end. Krishna all the time sat like this, unmoved. When the devatas were gone, a cowherd boys saw Krishna on the throne and they saw all this royal paraphernalia, jewel chamaras and cups made from diamonds and rubies for the water, and the arctic plate and the throne which they had arranged. And Krishna was just so sorry. The cowherd boys were just so, how do you say, so what did they do here? Who was this? And Krishna said, well, some people came and did their worship, but I was not so impressed. Oh, Gopal, said the cowherd boys, we will do our worship. Good idea. And they took leaves and flowers, and they waved the leaves to make an to bring a fresh breeze to Krishna's body. They put flowers on him from Braj, and they did their funny sounds for the arti. Now, the devatas had, as I said, moved away, but they had not gone totally away. When they saw how Krishna was now being worshipped by the cowherd boys, they were extremely, how would you say, moved. They were extremely bewildered, because they could see that Krishna was laughing, he was waving to the cowherd boys, he was looking at the flowers. Krishna had just stared at them, totally negligent. And the devatas were worshipping. Now he was responding, he was very active. And Krishna showed how he cared so much for his friends and joked and so on. So Krishna's pastimes in Braj are more attractive than the royal pastimes in Mathura or even Dwaraka. Now, now it is said there are many attractive pastimes, like for instance the Damodar Leela. But of all the pastimes, for the devotees, there is one pastime which is most attractive, king of all pastimes. And one devotee expresses it like this: though all my... Krishna says, not one devotee, I'm sorry, Krishna expresses what pastime he likes most. Though all my major pastimes in Braj are attractive, I do not know what will happen to my mind when I think of the Radha dance. Because it is during these pastimes which Krishna celebrates with the topmost of his devotees, where Lord Krishna is most pleased, most absorbed. He dances into the night with them, a whole night as long as the night of Brahma. It means a huge period of time. And in this pastimes, the fullest amount of love, the sweetest amount of love is shown. Remember, it is the gopis who are in the concentric lines, which come closer to the center of Krishna, which are the closest. That means they are closest to the fire. And what that means is closest to the sweetness. They perceive all of Krishna's sweetnesses, his sweet embraces, his kisses, his sweet words, the sound of his flute, the sound of his garments, which are rustling in the breeze near the banks of the Yamuna as he dances. They hear, in other words, with all their five senses, they get the most, let me say, overwhelming experience of Krishna Darshan. Therefore, in the Gayatri Mantra, the last line describes Krishna as the God of love who uses five arrows, these are the five sense impressions, to totally overwhelm with divine ecstasy his devotees. So Krishna himself likes these pastimes the most and says, I don't know what will happen, what happens with my mind if I just think of these pastimes. So the last of Rupa Goswami's, this is the second to last quality which he deals with in Laghu Bhagavatamrita is the sweetness of Krishna's flute or the Venu Madhurya. He has written a very beautiful verse about this. He says, whatever sweetness resides in all the sounds in the whole universe is contained in one atom of the sound of Krishna's flute. Imagine a sweetness. Imagine, for instance, you are dying. There is a cancer. You are diagnosed as cancer, a cancer patient who has only a few more days to live, and the doctor comes. You are on your deathbed. You are sweating. You know this is the end, the doctor says. It's not your end, you're over the disease. Yes, cancer is gone. You will be have many more years. Or imagine another sweet sound. The sweet sound of your favorite music. Or maybe the sweet sound of someone you love very much who tells you something wonderful. Your Guru Maharaj tells you, you will go to Vrindavan and there a great gift is waiting for you. A sweet sound the birds in the spring, Krishna, he says of all the seasons, he is the spring. Sweet sounds are maybe for the mother when she holds her little baby in the hands and the baby goes gluk 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 gluk, mother feels wonderful, gluk gluk gluk. Take all the sweet sound which you can imagine. What is your sweet sound? Do you have a sweet sound which you would like to hear? Please don't say that someone says, you have gained €1 million, or €1 billion. Or a sweet sound. Think of it. For me, I'm a nature lover. When I go into the forest here where we are, and I'm reminded when the cuckoo makes his sound, we have one big cuckoo like this here, I feel cuckoo, I remember Vrindavan, and I feel what a good remembrance of Vrindavan. I like the cuckoos of Vrindavan very much for some reason, especially when you go from Radhakund to Suryakund, there are also many cuckoos like this on the way who make their sound. I have noted this sound very, very nicely. Of course, that's very good sound. But Rupa Goswami says, whatever sweetness resides in all the sounds in the whole universe is contained in only one atom of the sound of Krishna's flute. When that flute sounds attractively, all moving and living entities absorbed in the most intense bliss just can't move any longer. Shiva and the others become bewildered and say, what kind of bewitching mantra is this that we are drinking with our ears? What most astonishing object is this? Can you now understand why the devotees describe when Krishna's flute is heard by their ears, they become bewildered and totally absorbed in that sound. There are descriptions that the Yamuna, who's blackish, becomes white when they hear the flute sound. Balaram's dhoti turns into, which is blue, turns into another color. When Krishna's flute sounds, my dear devotees, it is maddening. However, when Krishna plays his flute under the Vansivata tree in Vrindavan, I'm not speaking of the night of the Rasa Leela, and he looks to the other side on the bank of the Yamuna, Madan Mohan sees Madan Mohan Mohini. At the moment he sees his beloved Radha, his turban falls. That's the first thing which goes down. It's almost like a warrior who fights, you know, and the sweetness of Radha fights with him. Bang, the turban, the thing, first thing which goes down. Then, a little lower, the flute falls down. Krishna is so mesmerized by the extraordinary beauty of Radha. Why is Radha beautiful? Because the love is emanating from her. And then, the next thing, after the flute is gone, Krishna's dhoti falls down. And this is quite embarrassing for the Lord of the three worlds. This is when Madan Mohan sees Madan Mohan Mohini. Jai Sri Radhe. His flute playing is so wonderful, and the essence of the music, that all the big devatas and vidyataras stand in line when Krishna comes from the pasturing grounds in Vrindavan and enters Vrindavan village. They stand there to tell Krishna, your flute music, which we are so fortunate to have heard, is so good, and it's so novel, and you have created totally new ragas. It's so totally amazing. So this is there. Now I want to almost end. Yes, we are in good time. The Rupa Madhurya. Rupa Goswami has this to say. The form of the son of Nanda is an ocean of nectar with waves of unsurpassed sweetness, and it gives joy to all moving and immobile entities. It's said that Krishna's beauty is like a mother pearl. This is called a mother pearl, which somehow gives the appearance that it spreads light from inside. So although Krishna is blackish, dark black blue or blue black, difficult to say, still, because he it seems that light is coming out of him, you cannot really say he is like a blackish blue cloud. You must always say he is like a blackish blue cloud with a flesh inside. When Krishna moves through Vrindavan, the first thing which the when Krishna comes back from Vrindavan forest to the village of Vrindavan, the first thing which the inhabitants of Braj notice is the dust of the which is raised by the cows. They see a big dust cloud. And then they see devatas coming down to touch this dust, which is raised by the hooves of the cows and mixed with Krishna's footsteps. So they, this is the first thing they see. Then they start to see the cows. Then they see the cowherd boys, and not only do they see them, they start to hear their flute song, but all their eyes are just moving back and forth. They want to see Krishna. And Krishna comes last, because he wants to make sure that all his cows are there when he comes into the village. It is described that when Krishna comes finally onto the path of their thirsting eyes, it's like the shine of an emerald, a jewel, in other words, a darkish, bluish, actually the word is sapphire, which then, you know, the beauty is just moving like an indescribable force. And people look at Krishna and they cannot take their eyes away from Krishna. It is not possible. He is just so absolutely beautiful that they just stand rooted. This is why it says yes, no one can move when they hear or see Krishna. The Tantra says, this is a verse which Rupa Goswami cites, I will describe the supreme meditation on the son of Nanda. You can imagine, what is the supreme meditation on the son of Nanda? Here it comes for you. the tip of his toenails on his lotus feet radiates the beauty of billions of cupids. In other words, if you just see the tip of the toenail of Krishna, not of me, of Krishna, it is more beautiful than the beauty of billions of cupids. Have you ever seen the God of love? No? Sometimes you may see a little fragment of it through the eyes of a beloved who looks at you. At that time, you see just a tiny, tiny, tiny fragment when Ananga, it means the disembodied Cupid, becomes embodied. And at that time, when you see a tiny fragment of this through the eyes of a beloved person, you think this is the most beautiful person in the universe. What you see is Ananga, the disembodied Cupid, becoming briefly embodied. And you are bewildered. Now imagine, my dear devotees, just imagine, try to get your calculators out, you know, your computer calculators, and then multiply. If only a tip of the toenail of his lotus feet radiates the beauty of billions of cupids. Hare Krishna! Can you now understand why you cannot look at anything else than Krishna when you see him? It's not possible. Your eyes are rooted to him. Anyone who has only a little fragmental idea of the beauty of Krishna will be skeptical of ordinary beauty. I always feel, as a devotee of our beloved deities Radha Kanhaiya Lal, whom we want to show you, they look very beautiful, but one has to be very close, or one has to see through the eyes of love and not the eyes of a camera. Then you see. But yes, this beauty, Rupa Goswami says, and the Tantra says, has never been seen or heard anywhere else, including Mathura and Dvaraka. I would like to end here by reading to you a very, very, very two very nice verses, actually. Although the son of Yashoda, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles a Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. You know, there's a very precious and big Marakata jewel. I hope I give you the right information. I think it's a sapphire Marakata, but I'm not so knowledgeable in jewels. But if that bluish sapphire is surrounded by gold and other jewels, it looks just very shiny, because they seem to interpenetrate each other. You know, you see the gold inside the jewel, and the jewel reflecting the gold. It's a one very nice vision. Oh dear Krishna, What woman can escape the song of your flute, these soft notes of nectar? Who would not deviate from her principles? Even men like Indra and Cupid become bewildered. So what to speak of the women? Moreover, when the cows look at your form, which are auspicious for the three worlds, these cows develop an ecstasy within their hearts that their hairs stand on end. You know, even the cows respond to this beauty. If just hearing the sound of the flute, which indicates your presence, produces the loss of all self-control, what will happen when there is a direct meeting with that form who produces this sound? Therefore, Krishna's beauty is best. You know, when the sound already is so beautiful that all the sweetness which you can find in all the sounds in the whole universe, that is contained in one atom, it's a tiny fraction of Krishna's flute song. I think, my dear devotees, what you can understand from this is my point that Krishna is totally overwhelming. I want to bring out this point because I spoke to you about absorption as the essential principle of bhakti. Allow your heart to become touched by Krishna so that you can become absorbed and overwhelmed. This is mainly done by hearing about Krishna, whose mere katha is stealing away all the sins. Mere name is stealing all the sins away. And the biggest sin we have is this separate interest from Krishna. That's the root of all this dilemma in which we find ourselves. So now some of you might ask, but what is this prema madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's devotees? I want to tell you, the Lagu Bhagavatamrita has two parts, part one and part two. Part one is about the sweetness of Krishna, and part two is about the sweetness of Krishna's devotees. In that part of the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami takes us to the lotus feet of different devotees, and after we have visited different devotees and seen how they relate to Krishna, we are ready to meet Krishna's topmost devotees. It is the gopis of Vrindavan who have this love for Krishna. This love for Krishna is so special that Uddhava wants to take birth in Vrindavan as a little plant, so that the gopis who walk there, just walking around, totally absorbed in Krishna, will come to where he is as the plant and give him, and the dust from the lotus feet falls on them, on Uddhava. Uddhava knows the gopis will never give me the dust when I come as the prince of Mathura. Uddhava also has royal blood, as we say in German, is of a princely or order, he knows I can't get this dust when I'm coming as a Kshatriya to Vrindavan and say, give me your dust to go with. Will not do that. So I will have to use a trick. I will change my body. I want that dust. I want to be touched by love. I want this very, very badly, and therefore he wants to become a plant. There is a lot to say about the sweetness of Krishna's devotees. I will end here, because we want you to stay with us, and I know you have planned your day. These emissions are usually 1 hour from 7 to 8, but because we are talking about Krishna, it is natural that we are a little overdrawing the time. So, but more than 8:15, we don't want to go. I must say, I'm very, very excited to just think that you are there before your computer and see this. And I do hope to serve you nicely. I'm trying to say things which are talked about on Ekadasi, that means Krishna, and try to make it relevant. If you want to take one word home with you from this Ekadasi emission, take the word absorption home. And then if you want to make a little exercise, think in your life what you could do to become more absorbed in Krishna, how you can bring Krishna more onto the throne of your heart, in that sacred inner space, and how you can relate with Krishna more on a personal level, because only through this, only through devotion, will you be able to understand Krishna. You cannot understand him without devotion. He will always remain a distant philosophical concept which will not in the end touch your heart, and which will not change you. But if you can faint because you have an idea of the billions, you have, what is it that you have an idea how beautiful his toenail is? That is God. That is God. See you next Ekadasi if you have time. All the best for you, and we will now request Gaurahari to just go close to Radha Kanaya Lal, so that you can see very nicely the beauty of Krishna. Shishi Radha Kanaya Lal ki jai, Shishi Radha Shyam ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Ekadasi ki jai, sweet Vaishnavs ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
If Krishna is like a concept,
yeah,
you do it from the head. Like when you listen to the narratives, you can listen from the head or you can listen with the heart. I'm trying to figure out if this has to do something with inner faith, which is very subtle, so to say. Can you just see a few things?
The question, yes, of course, you do need to have faith that this is real, or that this is at least, as Prabhupada said in his preface to the Gita, you have to have at least the faith that Krishna could exist, maybe he exists, you know. That's how you start. I think we must ask, is there a birthplace of this phase, where the where our own phase can develop? And Shraddha is, it said, it's born in the association of devotees. However, you must learn how to associate properly. One is, you must learn to listen to the devotees, and then listening is not enough to make your, then some little faith may appear, but really the confirmation of your faith will only happen when you follow their example, when you do, in other words, what the devotees do, sing for instance, or worship Krishna. Then that initial faith which comes by hearing about Krishna becomes confirmed. Therefore it is said that there are two types of devotees. One is called Anukaran, he's the imitator, the Dharma Dvaji. He looks externally like a devotee, but he really doesn't have devotional feelings. He's the imitator. And the other is practices Anusharan. And Anusharan means he takes on a responsibility in devotional service, like this is what I'm doing. Therefore, I do feel really one thing of coming from the Anukaran, the imitator devotee, to the Anusharan devotee, the one who is a responsible devotee, is, you know, keeping things like promises. I take responsibility in my life that I chant my 16 rounds, for instance. Or I take responsibility in my life in service. I want to say this, it is when I see devotees who take on a service but who remain spaced out in the little things which I'm asking them, I know they are not, have not taken responsibility for this yet. They are not, you know, it's not so important for them. It's not that this is a service now I'm doing. It's more, yeah, it's a duty I have to do, or so on. It's, see, or something like this. To take personal responsibility brings you out of the shadow into the light of Krishna consciousness. It's a very, 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 you know, when this hit me at one stage, when I personally understood that, oh no, the spreading of Krishna consciousness is now where my exalted spiritual master has left. It's up to us, his disciples, to do something here. And then you feel like, oh my God, this is not done, that is not done. You all of a sudden feel responsibility for this. And then you feel the switch just turns around, and so on. So, yes, faith is born in the association of devotees, and association of devotees has two aspects, hearing from them, but then following. And it's that following which gives you more faith. Like when you take something, when you take a service in your life and you just take full responsibility for it. And I know every one of you has experience of this. Then something happens. You feel very, very close to Krishna. You feel Krishna is with me. It may happen when Guru Hari gives a lecture and he says, I am responsible if this is good or not good. It's not the responsibility of the audience. And they don't like it, it's my responsibility. It's not that I can say, well, tough luck, that's their problem, you know, and so on. Then you become tuned in or switched in and so on. Then, because at that time Krishna sees you care, and then he reveals himself. Let's remember, his Shakti is the Svayam Prakash Shakti. He can reveal himself. It's not that he cannot reveal himself because we are material and he is so spiritual. He can somehow find a way to make himself known in our psychology, and he does this through arrangements. Usually you notice that we may not see him, we may not be able to actually hear him in the heart, but all of a sudden our life turns in one direction and we go like, my God, this was Krishna, the big arranger. And we feel, do you always have to do these things so fast? Or do you always have to, you know, we feel things in our life. Or we feel Krishna, do you sometimes feel that Krishna is on your case? That he just doesn't stop? And he just, because he wants you to come to a certain level, then you know. Well, you can say this is all by chance, and you can stay at the word, or you can say, ouch. You can just go like, maybe you have to do this the whole day before the thoughts are rearranging themselves. Maybe you have to sit like this for a whole week, you know. But finally, I mean, I'm just joking. This is obviously not the way you rearrange your thoughts, you know, hoping that they will fall in a different place, you know. No, this is how it works. My dear devotees, I want to say one thing to you. Path is not easy. If you think you have taken an easy path, it's difficult to be strong when you have conflicting desires. One is this way, the other is separate interest still. No? It's difficult to be strong with conflicting desires. It's not that the path is difficult, but we are difficult. And for that, I feel we all should extend a helping hand to each other. We should be a little kind. We should understand each one of us will, to a lesser or bigger degree, struggle still with this most difficult to give up habit, because that sticks the most to us, this binadrik, this separate interest. So we need each other's help, we need each other's support, we need to become compassionate well wishers of each other. What do you feel, Ranga Devi? Support is always good, isn't it? We need. I know what Ranga Devi feels. Well, I should not do this in a public lecture. I could tune myself in now and something registered on my computer screen, but I will not bring this out in a public lecture. See, when you still know that, when we still know, like I know for myself, that I'm not free from this habit of separate interest. There's small things, you know, where I know this is. I would, for instance, like to preach in China, but you know, it's because somehow I have seen. I have this Wanderlust, they call it in German. They want to see different cultures and learn from them, and so. But it's not my. You know, this is not. I have to ask myself: is this in the interest of Krishna, or my own sightseeing interest? You know. But see, Krishna is like this. He also sees the desires of his devotees, and then he will fulfill these desires of the devotees, but in a way that they don't entangle themselves. This is one I like this so much about Krishna. Even if we are not super duper first class, which we are, who can say he is free from separate interest? I mean, Brahma wouldn't say this from him, about himself. It's Krishna fulfills in a way that we are not entangled. This is what I have personally seen many times in my life, where Krishna fulfilled a desire like seeing a country. Like I remember I went to Dubai, and then one friend was there in the jeep and said, with the jeep, four-wheel jeep, and said, do you want to see the desert? I said, I'm dying to see the desert. Can we see the desert? And he said, tomorrow we will see the desert. And then we drove with a jeep through the desert like anything. We were with the camels and so on and so forth. And Krishna fulfilled our desire, and I don't have to make now any longer a safari through North Africa. Not necessary. This desire is fulfilled. Done. Good. Any other question at this moment? I think we went for a long time. Yeah, we want to. Good. Hare Krishna.